Now we're joined on the phone by Toby Carey, who has a new film called Rails to the Catskills that'll be showing at 2 p.m. Saturday, November 8th at the Caro Library. Toby, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Oh, we can hear you now. Thank you for calling in. You're down in Ulster County today, or?
That's right. Ulster County, right outside of Woodstock and a hamlet of Glenford, which is part of the town of Hurley.
And what got you interested in Catskill Railroad history?
Well, as a filmmaker, one of my areas that I really like to talk about and deal with are kind of these lost histories that are Catskill Mountains and Hudson Valley regional lost histories. For some years, people have suggested to me that I might want to deal with railroads in the Catskills, and I kind of shied away from it, thinking it was a very big and very kind of unwieldy project, and I wasn't ready to dive into it until recently. The film I had finished just before this was called Sweet Violets, and it was about the violet growing industry, violets, the plants, a growing industry in Rhinebeck, when Rhinebeck was the violet capital of the world. And that had a railroad connection as well, because a lot of the violets were shipped out by railroad from the Rhinecliff Station. And so I had also included some railroad information in some of my other films, notably the Catskill Mountain House and the World Around, which dealt with the train system that went up into Greene County and up to the large hotels up there. So finally, I bit the bullet, and in fact, it was a very broad, very wide-ranging project. It took me about 2.5 years to do it with the help of a lot of local folks.
And I'm guessing the story of the railroads in the Catskills is also kind of the story of the Catskills in the 1800s.
Well, it's interesting because the railroads kind of stemmed out of the canal system, the Delaware and Hudson Canal, and then the great success of the Erie Canal. And then as railroads were invented, if you will, in Europe and became more and more possible, there were a few that were startup early adapters, if you will, of railroad lines here in the Catskills. The Canajoharie and Catskill line ran for just a few years in the 1830s, and that was kind of the start of it. Then there was a stopped forward motion, if you will. The Civil War took place, and after the Civil War, there was a railroad boom. So the 1860s, 1870s, there were a lot of people trying to make connections between waterways of that time, be it a canal or the Great Lakes to New York City, because most of the shipping was still on water at that time. So these railroad companies, and there were quite a few of them, were spreading out throughout the Catskills and making places that were previously not accessible quite accessible, with and cutting travel time dramatically. So it was quite a revolution in transportation once they became in place.
And I understand part of the film goes into today and a current fight over the railroads in the Catskills. Is that right?
Well, it's true. The film really has three main sections, if you will, broadly defined. The first part is kind of an introduction to the history of railroading, and then an introduction to the historians who you see and hear throughout the film, and why they loved railroads, how they fell into it, what their personal connection to trains was, and as kids growing up, and just what kept them interested. And these are great personal stories. Gives you a feel for the people and kind of why they have a passion for railroading. The second part is the detailed history of railroading in both the northern and southern Catskills. So the southern part was the Ontario and Western famed line, went through the Borscht Belt and up into the Catskills. Had branch lines going as all the way up to Delhi, and it had a branch line going up to Kingston from Ellenville. And then the other, the northern Catskills, where we are, Of course, it had the Ulster in Delaware, and it had the Delaware in Northern. It had the Otis Elevating and the Catskill Mountain Railway. So there were competing lines and complementary lines as well. You could, if you were careful about how you went, you could make a circuitous route around the Catskills on these lines, going from one to the other and ending up back where you started. So those are the first two sections. The third section is the contemporary story of railroading in the Catskills. And other than the tourist lines that are operating out of Kingston and Phoenicia on the Catskill Mountain Railroad and out of Arkville on the Delaware and Ulster Railroad, there are no rail lines into the Catskills. The CSX line comes through Kingston and Saugerties and down through Greene County, through Cementa, et cetera, but it doesn't really go up into the Catskills. There are no connections from Kingston to go up into Shandaken or where have you, or along Route 28. So it's kind of, these two lines are kind of isolated, and the Catskill Mountain Railroad is basically fighting for its life now with a county executive which has them in court, going back and forth. The lease that the Catskill Mountain Railroad has with the county expires in 2016, so the future's a little uncertain. The Catskill Mountain Railroad, for their part, has been trying to push ahead. They've extended their line out of Kingston now. They rebuilt a bridge on their own dime. They now have these themed train events, a very wildly successful Thomas the Tank Engine event this past summer. Had over 11,000 riders in the Kingston area. They just did a Halloween run that had maybe 1,500 or so, 1,800 riders. And now coming up in November and December, they have the Polar Express, which is another very fanciful and very popular run. They have almost 10,000 tickets sold for that as well. So they're continuing along. The county executive and his backers and the Trails community wants to see the railroad gone from Kingston west all the way to Mount Tremper, basically, and they want to rip up the tracks and replace it with a hiking and biking trail. So that's not yet played itself out. We'll see what happens. But the film couldn't ignore that. It was happening while I was... Certainly my intent was not to tell a contemporary story. I thought I was telling a 19th and early 20th century story like many of my other films have been, but this reared its head. It was hard to ignore, so we didn't ignore it, and we think we've given a fair representation of the situation as it is today with contemporary lines.
I was wondering if we've talked on this station about sound in early American communities, and the church bell, you know, was the telephone of its day. I guess the railroad sound was probably the same sort of thing. It probably people told time by the sound when the train passed. And what was that? Do you deal at all with that, or have you talked to people about how important the sound of the trains were in the communities in the 1800s?
Well, not from that aspect. But we do hear some of the historians say how, at least one of them, John Hamm, who's a well-known local historian, lives in the Hunter area, he talks about how he would hear the train whistle. The trains ran right behind his house in Hunter, and he said it would, and I paraphrase his quote, scare the living daylights out of you, and then you began to love it. So it certainly had a deep impact in these historians. And the sounds had, I'm sure, an equally deep impact on the communities through which it ran. Every engineer who blew a whistle had his own kind of method of blowing it, and if you were experienced enough, you could tell who was in charge of the train by the way the whistle sounded. So there were distinct sounds, even though it might be the same number of toots on the horn. Everyone has a distinct hand in the way they do it.
Their style of tooting.
Right.
Is there anything that you were surprised or shocked to discover when your research for the book?
Well, I guess I was surprised or reinforced in me the importance that railroads had at one time, and how, for instance, there was a train from that was called the Utica Flyer that ran from basically from Delhi to Albany, and it cut the traveling time, you know, by days. So it was a revolution, and it was a way to get around in all weather, unlike the barge canals, which of course had problems in the winter when water froze, or in times when there was very little water. The train could keep on chugging with, you know, very little stoppage if there was an accident, of course, or if there was heavy snow, they'd have to clear it, but then they'd be back on track, so to speak, and able to operate year-round. So the importance of it is hard to underestimate, and people today have a very different view of contemporary railroads. Maybe they're not a part of their lives as much, and certainly it takes a special effort to do any long-distance train riding in this country, very different in other parts of the world, in Europe and in Asia, where their high-speed trains seem to be making quite a difference as far as economic impact in local towns as well. But that was a, I wouldn't say it was a surprise, but it reinforced my thoughts about it.
And if you just tuned in, we're speaking with Toby Carey, who is going to be, you're going to be at the Cairo Public Library tomorrow?
I will be, yeah. The show starts at 2 o'clock. It's free of charge. We'll have some DVDs of our Catskill Mountain history and Hudson Valley history available for sale. A portion of each sale goes to support the Cairo Historical Society, so we're happy to do that.
And if people want more information about the film, where can they go? Is there a website?
Yes, they can go to our website. Our organization is called Willow, like the tree, Willow Mixed Media, and they can find us at willowmixedmedia.org, or perhaps it's easier for people to go to another one of our names for the same website is documentaryworld.com.
All right. Thank you for talking to us today. Toby Carey, his movie Rails to the Catskills is showing at 2 p.m. Saturday, November 8th at the Cairo Public Library in Cairo behind the Town Hall on Main Street.
All right.
All right. Thank you for talking to us today.
Looking forward to being in Cairo. Thanks for the time, Tom. I appreciate it.